Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. 1 hour left in this Friday show. We are going to make it count. I thank you all so much for listening. And by the way, if you missed any of our interviews this week or any of your favorite segments like Woke or Joke, they are all up on our website, gracecurlyshow.com, and I tend to tweet them out a lot from @G_Curly. So you can check out everything you missed over the course of the week, and that's always fun. Now, there's a story that is taking over the news cycle today. It was the first thing. My mom actually called me this morning when I woke up and said, did you hear about Alec Baldwin? And I hadn't heard, but it didn't take me long to get refreshed on what happened. It's a horrible, horrible situation, and I hope that it becomes very clear. I'm not making light of this. This is incredibly tragic. He had a hot gun during filming of a movie he's producing and acting in, and he did not realize, according to reports, that this gun had live ammunition in it, and he accidentally shot Helena Hutchins, a cinematographer who's 42 years old, and she died. He also shot Joel Souza, who's 48 years old, who was injured, but it's looking like he's going to be okay, which is good news. Now, everyone is talking about this story, and I wanted to bring in Mark Salinas, our legal expert from Silva and Salinas. Mark, thanks so much for coming on The Grace Curley Show.
Thank you for having me, Grace. What a tragic and bizarre story. It's really unbelievable.
It's really bizarre, Mark. I think that's a good way to describe it, because he was walking around the set after, according to reports, and saying, you know, how did I get a hot gun? Who handed me this? And I have seen stories like this before. I remember one over the past couple years at a college where they had a play. And in the theater departments, someone meant to leave a prop knife, but they left a real knife and someone got stabbed. And luckily, that did not end in anyone dying. But this kind of oversight is a huge, I would think, a huge legal issue for this production team and maybe for Alec Baldwin.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, someone was responsible for making sure that that firearm was a prop firearm and not a real firearm. And so whoever made that mistake is going to have huge liability to the family of the victims in this case. And one of the things, you know, one of the questions I have, Grace, about this whole case is that was it a prop firearm, or was it actually a functioning firearm and they had maybe some type of simmunition? Because I would think if it was the latter, I mean, that's just unbelievably negligent. I would hope that it was a prop gun and not a functioning firearm.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people today, Mark, specifically on social media, which, as all my listeners know, can be the worst place in the world, really coming down hard on Alec Baldwin. And I'm sure he's being hard enough on himself right now in a situation like this. I don't think anyone needs to pile on. But there were accusations, or there were thoughts being thrown out there that he could be charged with manslaughter. Do you think, and then other people were also saying, hey, you should never hold a gun. If you're ever holding a gun, you should hold it as if you're going to shoot it. Like, you shouldn't wave it at anyone. And, you know, people were throwing in their 2 cents. But as far as his liability, what do you think about that, Mark?
Well, I guess it depends on what he knew. I mean, if he had any reason to believe whatsoever that this was a functioning firearm, then yeah, potentially there could be some criminal liability there. But if he didn't know that, then I think it would be a hard time proving a criminal case against him, because one of the key elements of virtually any crime is intent. And that goes, you know, what you say about keeping the gun pointed in a safe direction. I mean, absolutely, which is why I brought up initially the question, was this a functioning firearm? Because if they're using an actual functioning firearm on a movie set as a prop, you know, I tell you, the first thing you think about is the victims. But you know what? I would take that case any day, and that production company should be terrified of the liability.
Yeah, and I also, I mean, when you have a gun out there, you also have to take into account who's watching it at all times. Because, sure, when you got the gun, or, you know, in this case, whatever the firearm, what type of firearm it was, and it was unloaded, that's all well and good, or it was filled with blanks, but someone has to have an eye on it or be storing it somewhere safe, or else you really don't know what's going to happen with that.
It's a great point. And you know what? You'd look at, first of all, there should be a policy across the board that if you're on a movie set and there are any firearms as a prop, that there are no live firearms allowed on the set. It's a policy that everybody is aware of. And if they don't have that policy, that's the type of thing, you know, civil lawyers are going to look at and say, this is why you guys were negligent. You didn't put in place proper safety procedures when you knew there was going to be shooting around firearms.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And Mark, do you have anything else you want to add into this case that people might not be thinking of, or, you know, haven't crossed our minds yet as far as the just sheer bizarreness of it all?
I just can't get over that in this day and age when everybody is, you know, so safety concerned that this type of accident still happens to this day. I mean, there is just no excuse for it whatsoever. And I really, you know, I feel terrible for the victims in this case, because this is truly one of the things that's absolutely avoidable. And if Alec Baldwin did not have any knowledge of this, imagine how he feels about the whole system, the whole situation. It's just tragic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mark Salinas. And where can people find you if they want to get in touch and get some legal expertise for themselves?
Oh, sure. They can contact myself or my law partner, Donna Silva. We're at silvasalinas.com, and we have an office up in North Andover.
Thank you so much, Mark. Yeah, it really is a crazy story. Now, shifting gears here, there are a few sound cuts I do want to play before we go to break. And one of them is to bring in a little lightheartedness to this segment. One of them is from Representative Bill Posey. He's a Republican from Florida, and he decided to end his speech on the House floor with something we're all becoming very familiar with. Let's say a new slogan for the country. This is Cut 20.
You know what they want? They want you to help put America back where you found it and leave it the hell alone. Let's go, Brandon. I yield back.
I thank my...
And Bill Posey was not the only person on my radar this morning as far as great sound goes. Rand Paul, someone who is owed 1,000 apologies from our mainstream media, was weighing in today on everything from the DOJ going after parents to gain of function research and how he was right. You know, you hate to say I told you so, except for when you're talking to Dr. Fauci, and then you love to say I told you so. Let's go with the first cut here, talking about school board meetings. This is Dr. and Senator Rand Paul.
We've referred him already to the Department of Justice, but this is a very partisan Department of Justice. That's really, they have a big problem. You've heard of domestic terrorism with moms at the, school board meetings. So I think they're going to be spending time going after, moms and parents complaining about what they're teaching at school. But I don't know if they have time to go after Dr. Fauci for lying.
No, exactly. The DOJ, their priorities are not exactly in check. You know, they hear that a mom raised her voice at a school board meeting and they're on the case. They hear that someone's got a Lego set in North Carolina and they're pounding on that person's door. But you tell them about a marathon bombing, or what was the recent thing? Oh, you tell them about Larry Nassar. And yeah, we'll get to that, you know, maybe at some point. It's like Joe Biden. Yeah, I should probably go down and see Larry Nassar. I should probably go down to the border eventually, but I'm going to wait on that. I got some Legos I want to construct. This is the mindset of the swamp, is that anything that could actually help, they have no interest in. But the stupidity, the things that they think polarize and vilify half the nation, they're all over that. They can't wait. Let's play another Rand Paul cut 30, please.
He's been parsing words. He's been sort of kind of going around the subject, and he never fully explains why it's not gain of function. But I think his explanation is this. Oh, it was inadvertent. We didn't know they were going to gain function. Well, that's what a gain of function experiment is. You don't know when you combine two viruses if it'll be more deadly, but it might be. If you have half a brain, you know, if you combine two viruses, it sure might be more deadly. So he knew it was a gain of function experiment. He just didn't know the result to the experiment.
Yeah, and here's another thing I would bring up here, which Rand Paul is kind of hinting at. There's some people who can play dumb. You know, Joe Biden can play dumb because it's believable, because he really is losing his mental acuity. He has no idea where he is, and you can buy the fact that maybe he doesn't understand it. Dr. Fauci's a lot of things, but he's not stupid, you know? So him saying, I knew, but I didn't know what they were going to do with it. No one's buying that. You're the smartest man in America for 2 years and suddenly, shoulder shrugs, you had no idea? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to play well. Let's play cut 31. This is Rand Paul.
Realize that Dr. Fauci's been steadfast in this. He said early on, even back to 2012, that should a scientist catch one of these diseases and spread it as a pandemic, that the collective accumulation of science would be worth the deaths of the people who die. And that's the question right. People need to ask him, but nobody on the left will ask him, was it worth 5 million people dying?
Well, he would first of all not answer that question, and he would snap just like he did at Rand Paul when he said, "With all due respect, you have no idea what you're talking about." That's probably what his answer would be, if I had to guess. Cut 32, please, Jared.
They still to this day are trying to get around the truth. They say, well, it was unexpected that it gained function. Well, how do you know if it's unexpected or not? It's unknown. If you take a virus from a cave, you combine it with a virus that has a 50% mortality, it either is going to be more transmissible or less, but you don't know in advance whether it's going to be worse or better. So when it gains function, that is something that actually is expected.
Thank gosh for Rand Paul, though, when you really think about it. I mean, there's so many senators who do a good job, but this stuff is complicated. Not to sound like Joe Biden / Avril Lavigne, but it is tricky when you go into a gain of function Wuhan lab. I oftentimes, if I have to read something from Scott Hounsell or one of these big papers from the National Review about this story, I have to like sit down with a cup of coffee and kind of go through it. Take deep breaths, start highlighting, because if you're not in the medical world, you kind of can get lost. I don't think Dr. Fauci was counting on someone like Rand Paul, who not only is involved in the medical world, who is incredibly bright, but who is also not easily intimidated. And he's not afraid. I mean, you look at Rand Paul, this guy's been through it. Okay, it's going to take a lot to bully him to be quiet. And I don't think Dr. Fauci scares him as much as Fauci might think he should. 844-500-4242. We will take more calls when we get back. We're also going to talk a lot about schools and teachers and what's happening with critical race theory, but also just a lot more sound that I think you'll enjoy. Jerry Nadler was going back and forth with Jim Jordan. Again, priorities here. The priority is not the fact that the AG directed the FBI to investigate parents. The priority for Jerry Nadler is that some members of Congress are not wearing their masks right. This is your Democrat Party in 2021. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
chips. You'll get nothing and I can.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather. And
When you really think about it, Joe Biden's excuse for not visiting the border is the same as Southwest's excuse for having all those grounded flights. It's just the weather. That's all it is. It's the weather. Blame it on the rain. I don't know if people are going to be buying that, though. And especially when he starts with, I've been really busy lately. Your public schedule would beg to disagree, good sir. All those trips to Delaware would make us think otherwise. Gail, you're next with Grace of the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Gail.
Hey, Grace. How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn last night, but I am an expert now on prop guns.
No. Oh, we'll take it.
I've done a lot of reading. No, from what I understand, they're a real gun, and they use like a bullet shell with a primer and gunpowder and then wadding. And then depending on, I guess, maybe the type of gun they want to imitate, they put more or less gunpowder and make a big bang or whatever. And then I also read that the prop manager uses people called armorers that are in charge of all of the gun type shooting knives and whatnot. And they're always in charge of those when, unless they're rehearsing or filming, they're always in those people's hands. Supposedly.
Yeah, a local union that covers prop masters sent an email to its members Friday morning saying that the gun Baldwin fired contained a live round, according to IndieWire. Very odd story, but that is interesting to know, Gail, that they, right. Usually these are real guns that are just, you know, made into props by putting in blanks. We appreciate the call, Gail. It's I'm hoping we're going to learn more as the day goes on. It's very, very bizarre. All right, so Well, it depends what you think as good news, because I have more Biden sound. Taylor just walked in here with a whole new list. These are the ones that they're not necessarily like the biggest cuts, but there are some interesting ones that I do want to play. But before we get to that, today's poll question is brought to you by OrthoFeet. OrthoFeet's unique premium orthotic insoles give your feet the comfort they deserve. So treat your feet to a pair of OrthoFeet shoes. Go to orthofeet.com. That's orthofeet.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
What was Biden's best moment last night? Making the okay sign while whispering, forgetting Long Beach, too busy to visit the border, or scoffing at freedom?
I'm going to say too busy to visit the border.
Too busy to visit the border is at 39%, good for second place. First place goes to scoffing at freedom, 46%. 10% say the okay sign while whispering, and 6% say forgetting Long Beach.
He's not the first person to scoff at the concept of freedom. Let's play a few of these flashbacks. Remember Arnold Schwarzenegger cut 10? This is Arnold.
Screw your freedom.
Remember Fauci cut 11?
I know I respect people's freedom, but when you're talking about a public health crisis that we've been going through now for well over a year and a half, the time has come. Enough is enough.
You know how I can tell if someone doesn't respect people's freedom? If you have to say, I respect people's freedom, but that's immediately I know that you don't really. You say it while you're on CNN, but you don't really respect people's freedoms. When we get back, we have some more updates on Joe Biden's town hall. I had no idea how many more gaffes there were. We're going to try to roll through them all in the next segment. We'll take your calls, and we also have Crazy Karen coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us. All right, we only have a little bit of time left. I don't know how the time flies so quickly. But let's go to Nancy before we go back to these cuts. Nancy, you are next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Grace. I totally agree with you, by the way, about the Alec Baldwin situation. Very sad. But I just want to say two things. I don't remember ever hearing Donald Trump say he didn't have enough time. He was too busy to deal with anything. And number two, thank God he was president and not Biden when the pandemic started. Those are my two takeaways from his town hall last night.
I think those are excellent takeaways, Nancy, and you're dead on about the first one. You never heard Trump say he was too busy, and the guy never slept. He never slept. He did more things in a day than Joe Biden has done in the last 9 months. And he never talked about things that he used, like, that he did a week before. It was always kind of moving forward because he was so, that's the thing about being busy. You know, if you're really busy, you don't have a lot of time to sit around and reminisce about the G7 for the 80th time that week. It's like, can you imagine how many times people that Joe Biden's handlers, the people whose shoe report is out of the room, how many times they've heard him say, remember at the G7? It's like, yeah, we let you go to the G7. Will you shut up about it already? We get it, bro. Move on. But the rest of his days has been spent either in the basement of the White House or in Delaware riding bikes or on vacation. The guy is really committed to his PTO. He's taken more vacations in the last 9 months than I have, than you have, Jared, than Howie Carr has. This guy has had a lot of vacation time, and there's nothing wrong with taking vacation. But sometimes, if you're at a company and the bleep is hitting the fan, you just know not to go on vacation at that time. If you're president of the United States and the country is dealing with a multitude of problems, from the supply chain crisis to inflation to an Afghanistan withdrawal that was handled terribly, what am I forgetting? Oh, the border surge. Yeah, you might skip the August getaway. Just a thought. But I'm glad Nancy brought that up because there are more Biden sounds here and I would be devastated if I did not play at least a few of them. What I want to play here, because I find it very interesting, and I did end up working this into my latest Spectator piece, Meghan Markle, the former princess, I think, was she a princess or duchess? The former duchess from England, who's now married to Harry, formerly known as Prince Harry. She wrote a letter yesterday, and it had, you know, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex on top of it, and it was all about family paid leave and how she really hopes Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer should get this done. And I was cracking up because I was thinking to myself, imagine Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer opening that letter. You know, it's definitely all fancy. It comes from their mansion in Montecito, California, and it's got all the calligraphy on it. And I'm sure Nancy Pelosi's like, oh, we're going to get invited. We're going to get invited to Prince Harry and Meghan's house for a party. Or maybe a premiere of one of Harry's Disney Plus documentaries. Chuck, look, let's open it. And then they open it, and it's like, you need a past paid leave because I'm counting on you. This is from Meghan Markle. And it turns out that paid leave is still part of the $3.5 trillion. So if it does pass, it's going to be hilarious to watch Meghan Markle, who I've heard has political aspirations, try to take credit that her letter spurred this on. You know, her letter about why paid leave is so important. But this is what Biden said about federal paid leave last night. This is Cut 5.
How much time off would parents actually get under your proposal? Because at one point you talked about 12 weeks. Now there's reports it's down to maybe 4 weeks.
Yeah, it is down to 4 weeks. And the reason it's down to 4 weeks, they can't get 12 weeks.
Well, that would make sense. That is how that tends to work. Now let's listen to Joe Biden try to explain how everything's being paid for in this new world. Everything. It either costs $0 or it's already been paid for or no one's paying for it. It's paying for itself. But if it's paying for itself, then people who make over $400,000 are paying for it. But I guess they don't count anymore as people because, again, it's not being paid for by anyone. It's very confusing, this new algorithm the Biden administration has going. So listen to him try to explain how child care will be paid for. Cut 4.
You will not have to pay more than 7% of your income for child care. 7%. And the way we do that is we provide for the ability to have child care centers funded. The money won't even go to you. You know, you'll the figure income, you get 7% with the total cost. But there's another piece here.
Well, that clears that up. I don't have any questions. No questions whatsoever. It also would appear that the free child care, free school, all of that stuff is still in the works. Listen to Joe Biden cut 15.
So that's why what I propose is free child, free school for every 3 and 4 year old in America.
Okay, and let's also, I don't know what this is going to be. I cannot claim that I've already heard this, but the caption is, Biden tells black women he made more money than her, even though she never said her salary. Is that accurate? Okay, let's give it a listen. Cut six.
I was in a situation like you, where I was making more money. I was making $42,000 a year as a senator at the time.
I don't understand that.
Was she as bright as a poor kid or whatever, Joe?
Let's also play cut 14. This is Joe. He's the, you know, as Libby Emmons pointed out, he's really great at the details of when he was younger, but the timing of things is still getting to him. Cut 14.
In the late 1900s, in the early 1900s, late 1890s, we came up with, said, 12 years of free education.
And also, this is one of the craziest takes. He thinks people aren't working because there aren't enough vaccine and mask mandates, when what we've been hearing through the grapevine is that people are actually quitting, including in Massachusetts, including in Washington State. People are actually quitting because of the vaccine mandates. But in Joe's alternate Alice in Wonderland upside down world, they're quitting and they're not going to work because there's not enough government mandates and there's not enough Karen enforcement of testing and no swabs and masks. Cut 26.
They're reluctant to go back to work because they're afraid of COVID, many of them. So they don't want to go back and they don't want to be exposed either to the customers because they're not required to wear masks or not required to have shots, or they don't want to go back because they're not sure the people waiting on them in the at the table or the people coming up in the food market. So a lot of it has to do with COVID.
Yet again.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't. And contrariwise, what it is, it wouldn't be. And what it wouldn't be, it would. You see?
I see. Or what she said made more sense. What Alice in Wonderland just said made more sense than what Joe Biden said. But that is to be expected, I guess. The cartoons tend to make more sense than the president. Jared, we do have a recent cut of Jen Psaki being asked about Biden's border claim by Peter Ducey. Can we play this, please?
Following up on something else the president said last night, why did President Biden say he has been to the border?
Well, Peter, as you may have seen, there's been reporting that he did drive through the border when he was on the campaign trail in 2008, and he is certainly familiar with the fact, and it stuck with him, with the fact that in El Paso, the border goes right through the center of town. But
ooh, even for her, that's pretty bad.
He drove through the border on the campaign in 2008. Checkmate, one horse pony.
Wait, can we hear
checkmate.
That? Can we hear that again, Jared? Because when she started that, you could hear that she wasn't even confident in saying it. Like, she knew it sounded stupid.
Something else the president said last night. Why did President Biden say he has been to the border?
Well, Peter, as you may have seen, there's been reporting that he did drive through the border when he was on the campaign trail in 2008, and he is certainly familiar with the fact, and it stuck with him, with the fact that in El Paso, the border goes right through the center of town.
You know,
he knows geography.
My mom used to sing that song. Down in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. And you know what that makes me? Very familiar with the area. In fact, I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but I've heard that song like 3 times in my life. I feel like I'm an expert. I feel like I know it well. I feel like I might as well have driven through the area. That's how well I know it. All right, now we're getting a lot of texts here that people agree. 774 says, I was set to start a second job last week, but a surprise mask mandate in my town made me walk away from it. Oh, well, that would come as a shock to Joe Biden, because he would think that would make you run towards it. All right, without further ado, it is time for Crazy Karen Friday.
Her name could be Gina or Beth. She just wants a latte.
I'm putting you on citizen's arrest
right now. Are you serious? For what?
But with a slight inconvenience, she grows angry and outraged.
I have a right to sue you for harassing me, the ad manager, and this entire company.
And a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Hey, I have seen you around this neighborhood too many times. This is ridiculous.
She becomes the crazy Karen.
You being a bitch is gonna help?
I didn't say anything.
I don't know. Calm down. Calm down.
Ma'am, I'm trying to...
This part of the show is where Jared collects all of the Karen stories, and he tells us about what they're worried about this week. They're always worried about something, Jared, aren't they?
And we're going to lead off with dog park Karen. Karen is upset because this couple's dog is 2 pounds over the small dog limit.
The small dog is 22 pounds
or
under.
Can you please leave us alone? You came back and are harassing us when we asked you to leave, and now you're coming back here to yell over
it.
What?
It will be reported.
Leave us alone.
I would gladly if you just... Oh, report it. Yes, your dog is not a small dog. Your dog is a medium-sized dog, and your dog attacked, ran over my dog when he came in.
You with your medium-sized dogs.
It does seem
like...
I'll
get you and your medium-sized dog, too.
It does seem like the dog parks really do bring out the Karens. Actually, a friend of mine ran into a Karen the other day at a dog park and then saw her the next day. That's the thing, is that oftentimes you're going to see these people more than once. You know, there's only so many dog parks out there. But yeah, they're very particular about... The medium dog days are over.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
But we do have to find out, did her dog run over the small dog? Was it a playful run over or was it more aggressive?
Apparently it was maliciously and with intent to wound, one would expect.
But aren't dog parks, and I don't know this, Jerry, because I, as many people know, I'm not a huge dog person. But dog parks, because like you let your dog off the leash at those, right? And they all kind of play together?
Yeah, this one actually was fenced in. There was a chain link fence, so it was pretty much like a fenced in gated park. So yes, in that setting, all the dogs are usually off of a leash. They play with each other. They run around. They dig. They do whatever.
Yeah, so if your dog is going to be a baby about it, then maybe you should not bring your dog there. Do we have another one, Jared?
We don't have any audio, but a quick food snob, Karen. This comes from a catering business. I'm organizing a conference this weekend and have emailed attendees asking for dietary restrictions. One lady responds saying she's gluten-free, MSG-free, and requests no artificial ingredients for lunch. My peer replies asking her what she considers to be artificial ingredients, and her response is anything I can't pronounce. So I email her back asking places she frequents and dishes she commonly takes out so that I can grab the special order nearby, or she can take a look at the menu from the place and we'll be able to find something that suits her. She responds with a beef teriyaki bento box, which will undoubtedly contain MSG, gluten, and artificial ingredients.
Yeah, a lot of people do this now, going to restaurants. It's like a whole thing. You got to tell them what you like, what you don't like. And I always used to say when I was a waitress, we always had to ask, you know, if someone had a gluten intolerance and they would say, oh, does that have gluten in it? And I would say, no, are you gluten-free? Yeah. And then I would have to come back and I would say, are you celiac or are you gluten-free? Because if you're gluten-free, that usually means you're just opting out of eating gluten, and maybe it's for like a dietary reason. But if you're celiac, it's very serious and having gluten can really upset you, your stomach, and can make you feel sick. And most of the time people would look at me and they knew
that you were calling them out.
Well, they knew that if they said gluten-free, the kitchen wouldn't have to go into like high alert. And people like the kitchen to go in high alert for them. People like to be high maintenance. So they would look at me for a little bit. They'd think about it. And then they'd say, I'm a celiac. And I would think, no, you're not. You're a liar. That's what you are. You're
Dolan
a liar.
Dolan Valor, if you can call it that.
Yes, exactly. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of the Eden Pure's best-selling products, and now Eden Pure is offering my listeners a special Thunderstorm 3-pack. One user writes, I'm surprised at how well the small unit works, but Jared, they shouldn't be surprised. We always say this is a product that's easy to use. You can use it in several different areas, including your kitchen, your basement, your car, and it really works. You will be amazed how quickly this device works.
Yeah, whether you, if you have a pet and your dog doesn't quite fit the definition of small dog or medium-sized dog, it works on any dog odor.
Even cats, medium-sized cat.
Wow, that'd be a big cat.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, but what it does is it actually gets rid of those odors by ionizing the air. You just plug the unit into a wall outlet. That's it. That's all the maintenance. You plug it in, you turn it on, and it immediately starts ionizing the air, which creates the super oxygen, which gets rid of any size animal odors. It gets rid of food odors, allergens, pollutants, some viruses, just nasty stuff that you don't want to be breathing.
Yeah, and right now you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. That means you'll get 3 units for under $200 and you'll save $200. Do not miss out on this deal, because some of these units that you're going to find online, they cost like $600 and they work. Some of them don't even work as well as the Thunderstorm. This is a product that stands the test of time. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name, use code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and use code word GRACE3. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
What I have said, you're shaking your head no, but let me tell you something, Jack. It's the truth.
Who's Jack? Is he talking to Anderson at that point?
I think that was an audience member shaking his head.
Oh, you know, kid, we're all Jack. Shaking our heads, aren't we, though? Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. All right, so the folks on CNN gave Joe Biden 5 stars. I mean, this was fabulous. He did a great job. He's in command of the facts. I'm bringing on my own critic now, Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, do you care to rate Joe Biden's performance?
Pitiful. P for pitiful. It was really weak, even by Joe Biden standards.
Come on, man.
I love the fact that he says billion when he means trillion, and he says, conversely, 800,000 when he means 80,000 vaccination sites.
Pretty soon you're talking real money, Howie.
He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. How about the fact he can't remember Kyrsten Sinema's name?
Yeah, we actually didn't play that. We should play that right here. This is Joe Biden forgetting Sinema's name, cut 17.
So far, Mr. Manchin and one other person has indicated they will not support free community college.
You know what, though, Howie? I have a theory on this, because recently, I think it was Politico, put out that the administration or the Democrats in D.C. have a new strategy to deal with Sinema. They're going to isolate her. And people were joking about this because they were saying, ahaha, you think Kyrsten Sinema is going to care if you guys ignore her? So I don't know if this was maybe a subtle dig at Kyrsten Sinema, because he didn't seem like he was trying to remember her name. He said another person.
You know what happens when they try to, like, isolate somebody in the mob, you know, and no one talks to him anymore? He begins to think, I'm going to get whacked. And you know what the second thing he does is? He goes to the feds and he goes into the witness protection program.
Are you listening, Kristen? We'll be back.